burning them. So
I was out. Today years old. I was today years old when I learned that you should not expose your plants to direct sunlight. This is ridiculous. Why ain't nobody ever told me this before, bro?
Yeah, when it's like 95, 100.
Yes.
You don't want to.
I thought they needed more chloroplasts. I thought that they needed more photosynthesis. God dang.
Nah, they burn up.
Hey, this is Damani Daniel, Chief Imaginator at The Event Nerd.
And this is Byron Sanders, President and CEO of Big Thought.
Welcome to Casually Creative, conversations about everyday creativity and nerdiness. Welcome to another episode of Casually Creative. I want to apologize. We've been gone for a minute. I'm just gonna be honest. Life happened, like it did. Like there was
actually. Can we be honest? Can we be honest?
Yeah.
This is a slight flex, just a slight one.
How is this a slight flex?
Because Damani has been busy, guys. Damani's been busy. He's been busy winning awards. Okay. He's been busy getting recognized as an industry and an innovator and a black digital marketing god. Okay, that's what's been happening, Damani. Tell the truth, shame the devil. Let the people know, Damani.
It's true.
Tell them what you got. Tell them what you got.
All right, so I won an award. You know, I did an event back in October of last year, and we won Best Event Production, over $25,000 for our event with Sally Beauty Holdings. Like Sally Beauty, you know, those places that you bought your things.
Oh, you've seen them. You've seen them.
You know, red logo. It was. I won an award. It's nice. Nice to be recognized.
Industry wide.
Then I got published in a magazine. You know, it's fine. It's fine.
Whatever.
No
biggie.
So, you know,
flex.
Slight flex. Okay, flex.
Good job, man. I'm proud of you, bro.
I appreciate you.
I'm really proud of you, man.
I appreciate you.
Shine, black man. Shine.
I'm a shine. Shining bright like a diamond.
All right. Proud of you, man. Seriously, bro. That's good. And so you all can forgive us for getting off of our normally scheduled releases. I know you guys were probably like, you know, just chomping at the bit, but my guy is coming off one of the best years that he has ever had in his business, in spite of the tremendous circumstances and hurdles that he's had to overcome. And many of his partners, colleagues in the whole industry have had to overcome. We are now seeing a light at the end of the tunnel, but guess what? He was shining all the way through the darkness. Let's go, Damani. Proud of you, bro. Let's go.
I appreciate that. I like when bros celebrate bros. Mm-hmm. So I'm about to celebrate another bro. You ready for this?
Yeah.
So a while ago, I got introduced to a fine gentleman, great gentleman, through the Instagrams, the IGs. My sister put me on to the fact that there was this dude who was out there in them streets, and he was slanging.
He was slanging.
He was a dealer. And he was dealing through Instagram. He was a plant dealer, y'all.
Oh, the plants.
So I checked into this guy, this Energy Gardens guy.
Horticulture, if you will.
If you will. I did. And I was like, yo, what's this dude all about? Energy Gardens on Instagram. You literally can go, and if you're in the DFW Metroplex, you can buy plants through Instagram. All kinds of plants.
It's an amazing world.
And then I got to know the dude. And he's a pretty fucking dupe. Dope.
No, he's a dupe. He's a dupe, though.
He's a
he's a dupe, dude. He's
That's a dupe, a, dude. When you're a dope dude, you're dupe.
You do.
And just wanted to get him on the show, get him into a conversation. Would y'all please welcome to Casually Creative Cashmere's Anthony Robinson, aka Energy Gardens.
Yo.
You all don't know this, but right now, he is like straight up the coolest cat I've ever seen. We can see him. You can't because we can see video, but you won't.
Yeah.
He's posted up right now, just like laid back. There are plants all around him. He has an antique radio in his background.
Got the dreads.
You know, he got dreads going.
Got the locks going. Yo, he got like a leather couch, like a nice soft leather couch.
It does look soft. It does look soft.
Nah, we looking at Zamunda. We looking at Zamunda right there.
Zamunda.
They got the inspiration.
Or like a Wakandan, like it's like a Wakandan coffee shop.
That's what it is. It's a Wakandan coffee shop. Got vibranium mugs. That's what it is.
All right, Anthony. Obviously, I got a lot of your plants in my house. Mm-hmm. But put me on. What's your origin story? Where you come from?
Ooh. Where you come from?
Yeah, put us on.
Man, I come from Oak Cliff, Texas.
Come on.
Regular. I would say I was regular, but I wasn't as a kid. I had a lot of plants and animals, lizards, snakes, frogs, turtles, all that type of stuff.
Like that actually is the very definition of irregular.
Yeah, that's not regular at all. That's not regular.
It
was regular for me. Everybody else was odd.
That's right. That's right. That's it.
Everybody else was odd to me. I'm like, man, y'all don't like snakes. I like going to the zoo or going to the woods or, you know, I was in the hood, you know, but I was always watching the Nature Channel. But I had a different side of me. You know, I liked electronics. So I did go to school, majored in engineering, like I said, because of Dwayne Wayne from a different world.
Flip
the glasses.
Yeah. But I ended up changing my major a few times. Computer science, and I did business management.
Anthony, I gotta ask you a question real quick. You say you're from Oak Cliff. Oak Cliff's big.
Yeah.
People, if you ain't from here, because we got listeners all over the world.
Yeah.
We worldwide out here.
It's the worldwide.
Oak Cliff is actually a big part of Dallas. Like, it's a good chunk.
Yeah.
What part of Oak Cliff did you grow up in?
Man, it depends. Mostly over there by Kimball. I did some time over there in South Oak Cliff. Over by Sunset, by Carter. It just depends on the year.
You covered actually a good chunk of Oak Cliff.
Yeah. Real talk.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, where was I at?
School.
Yes. Yeah. We were talking about school. I changed my major a few times. But I changed the final change was business management. I did that because I was always hustling something. I was always selling some knockoff purses. Caps, sunglasses at the Trader's Village, just at Dallas Farmers Market, just at different markets.
Yeah. While you were in school?
Yeah, I had a t-shirt company. It was called Soul Revolution. At the time, but I still had my animals and my plants.
Okay, so let's pause there for a second. Let's back up. I actually want to go back a little bit. So you say that you were, when you were growing up, you were in the snakes, you were in the plants, you were in the animals. You grew up in Oak Cliff.
Yeah.
Unpack a little bit twofold. One, how did you gain access to those animals? And secondly, what was it like in your family? Was your family down for all you having all these animals? Or were they like, Anthony, get these damn things out of my house?
Yeah, because they knew what time it was at the age of two. They always tell me this story. They said they got real quiet in the living room. They said, I climbed on the couch and got inside the aquarium with the fish.
You climbed in the aquarium with
the fish. They said it was half full because all the water had evaporated. All the water evaporated. So I was sitting in the tank with my pamper on playing with the fish. They said they knew what time it was.
look, Anthony in there soaking up all the water in his
Yeah, so... I mean, I snuck a lot of animals in, stuff like that. Spiders, you know, put them in the cage. They had babies. All the babies everywhere I get fussed at.
Oh, yes.
What's the craziest thing you ever snuck in?
Shoot, man. Probably a bunch of ants. The ants got out.
Your parents, your family was like, who is this little who keeps bringing critters in this house.
I used to go down and it's in Oak Cliff over by Winfield's Hamburgers.
Yeah.
Off of 35, there's a creek over there. You can't see that. You can see the creek from the highway. We used to play down in that creek, catch crawfish, turtles, and man, whatever, you know. But you know, like I said, man, I took what I liked and figured out how to make some money with it. Because, like I said, I had other
business. Man, I gotta ask Anthony. I mean, we talked about this a little bit before, brother. But so I do. We oftentimes end up spending a good chunk of time talking about people's like childhood, because childhood has a lot of the basic elements. Mm-hmm. Of who you become, you know, later on in life. And so I gotta ask, man, you know, I grew up in Oak Cliff as well. And there's something that happened, man. So I'm part country, part city.
A lot of country.
Right. I got a lot of family in deep East Texas. Yeah. I spent a ton of time, but we were out there frequently, right? I am. And I'm proud.
If people
country and proud.
You tell people you're from Oak Cliff, they tell you not, huh? You get that? Do you ever get that?
You know what? It's funny. I have enough Oak Cliff cred that I don't really get that anymore, right? Yeah. But that's the thing. In a good chunk of my time, I actually lived like we slept in DeSoto. Yeah. But all of my waking hours were in Oak Cliff, Redbird, South Oak Cliff, Cummins, Rank, Zumwalt.
I get that.
All of that.
Yeah. See, I even worked in a pet store in Big T Bazaar a long time ago.
See, no, you deep Oak Cliff, bro. If you worked at Big T Bazaar, that just makes you certified.
You gotta be certified. You gotta be old to know about that pet shop.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, I loved going there. And there were a few things thinking back, like there were gaps in like the plastic that you could put your little pinky finger through. Yeah. And I was like, that's in hindsight, that was not very safe. But it was it was fun.
You know, you gotta try some things at a young age.
You did. No, man, but the reason why I was going to ask you, the question I was going to ask you was, so, of course, in your family, everybody like, oh, there's Anthony with another snake. But how were you perceived among your peers? How did other kids look at you, given that this was kind of a love that you knew early on?
See, like, all right, so the snakes came later on in life when I moved out. But even before, I had like monitor lizards when I lived with my mom and dad or whatever. I mean, some of my partners had snakes and fish, and you know, some of them were like that. I had met a couple of dudes like that. My cousins were like that. One of my aunts like animals. But you know, the other side of it, like I said, they just thought, man, he's crazy, man. He got, you know, lizards eating rats and, you know, just different stuff, man. But it's all good. It's all good, man.
No, that's dope. So y'all were like the hood Irwin family, like, you know, Steve.
We just connected to nature.
That's what it was. Yeah,
Was it your family that was like this, or like how did this happen for you? Like, were you in the midst of Oak Cliff, you were still trying to find connections to nature?
Man, it was just always like that. I mean, I even sat in an ant pile. I had to be younger than third grade. That's when we still lived in this one area. So first, second grade, pre-K, I don't know, but I remember I sat in an ant bed. My mom said, boy, you better get out that ant bed. I said, he asked my friends. And my name was Anthony. I'm a little boy thinking. I remember running up those steps, getting that house, and she put me in the tub.
When they were like, we're not your friends.
And told me up.
So like, it's, I've always, delicious.
Yeah. So I've always been into this, man. And I chose it out of all my businesses I had going on because I love to do it. You know what I'm saying? My body would get tired, but mentally I wouldn't get tired of doing it. I come from the corporate world, from the IT world.
Talk a little bit about that. I don't think I didn't know that about you.
Yeah, for a long time. I worked at one job for so long. They had Christmas parties and you know, open bar. They had a picnic. They, man, just so much stuff. But they got bought out and the whole culture of the company changed. Mm-hmm. So I started looking for another job. That job there, I hated that job so much. Man, I wanted to cry going into work. But I used it as fuel to build up my business. You know, after I had said, I'm going to do energy gardens, mm-hmm. This is what I'm going to do. I used it. I put a plan in action. And I executed, man. And I left corporate America and hadn't been back in years.
How long has it been?
I'm about to say, what year was this?
What is this? 2015, like around 2015.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did that look like when you were like, you know what? F this S. I'm done.
Yeah. I took a year to plan because I was mainly doing like outdoor markets and festivals. So I took a year to say, okay, when are my good months? When are my bad months? How much money do I need to make? Let me see if I can make this money and pay my bills without my job. So I did that. It was like trial and error. I just wasn't going to quit with no plan. I'm not like that. I got kids.
Yeah.
So after that,
kids are a powerful motivator.
After that year, I waited. I said, I'm going to leave at this time when it, I get my tax return, the company's going to pay the bonus, and then the spring and summer is a hot time for plants. So I said, I'll be good. And man, it worked. That last job called me to do some contract work. Man, I was so happy I was able to say no. I love my peace. I love my peace, man.
You know, what's really funny to me, man, is and funny, not like haha, but funny, kind of beautiful, because it's like, you know, growing up, you actually checked all the boxes, and particularly from for a kid who's coming from the part of Oak Cliff that I know you come from, mm-hmm. right? Oak Cliff part that I spent a lot of time in. Mm-hmm. One, getting to college mm-hmm. already makes you an anomaly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, makes you somebody who's rare and is doing a different thing.
What it was, bro. Yeah. What it was a girl I was talking to at the time. Her family were college people. Her mom and dad had went to college.
Wow. And
that was around.
Tell us a little bit more about that.
That was around 10th grade. Like, I wasn't even thinking about going to college. People bring up college when I was younger. I'm like, man, I'm getting out of high school. That's it.
That's it. We good. We got out.
But when I
gotta work.
When I met them, they lived in the suburbs. Like I said, they had gone to college. Nobody in my family had gone. And so I was the first one on both sides to go and graduate. Wow. You know, and this is the 90s. This is 2000s.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But you know, some families start out later than others. So now everybody goes. Now all the young, they all go.
So, okay. Oh, hold on. Let's back up for a second. So you're saying that you were the first family member to go to college?
Yeah.
And now are you saying that more family members are?
Yeah, all of them go now, all the kids.
So do you feel like, without putting too much weight on you, do you feel like that was like a line for you in the family? Or that was a line for the family where they were like, Anthony's going, and it made it, did it normalize it for everybody to go? Or why do you think everybody's going now?
Yeah, I think I had one other cousin go before me, but she didn't graduate. I'm not going to leave her out. She didn't graduate or whatever. Yeah, she did. She's kind of close in age to me, but she's older. But yeah, man, I went and graduated. We had a big, they had a big party and everything for me. But like my cousins, like everybody's kids, you know, most of them go now.
Yeah,
it's a thing now.
Nah, man, it's funny how you're so casual about it.
I mean, literally, like Anthony, like you just said, nobody was really going to college beforehand. Yeah. It's like one other person, and then I did, and now everybody is. Like that's
kind of a big damn deal.
It is, but if you like my dad's family, they from the country in Alabama. My mom's family from the country in Arkansas.
Hmm.
So if you understand history, I mean, you know what was going on.
Yeah, that's fair.
So
yeah,
and those parts where they were from, and then so you. Even though it was 1998 when I graduated high school, you still got to realize the mentality of people.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Somebody's going to come and bring the family up. You know, I got little boys and little brothers, and you know, it has to build up every generation.
Yeah.
Well, that's why it's so exceptional, man. And the thing that really hits me is because for anybody who's gone to college, anybody who's been in, you know, on the bachelor run, yeah, right? The bachelor's degree run.
I thought you were referring to that, like, really shitty TV show. No, like, thank you for clarifying. Because I wanted to make sure that people weren't.
Definitely not the,
whew, that was close.
Definitely not the TV show.
Yeah, that was close.
Well, for anybody who's been on that degree chase, mm-hmm, for a black man, mm-hmm, from the cliff, first generation, yep, on either side, yep, to step in there and be like, I'm about to go to engineering.
Yeah.
Also true.
That also is strange, man, because I'm gonna be real with you. Listen, I've been in those conversations. I've spoken with some of the counselors or the advisors. Mm-hmm. When we walk in the room, most people aren't thinking, engineer, that guy right there, mm-hmm, engineer. You know, mm-hmm, what I'm saying? And so, what gave you the confidence? You changed your major eventually, mm-hmm, but what gave you the confidence to say, yeah, not only am I going to college for the first time, mm-hmm, of anybody of my lineage, but I'm going to be an engineer? Where'd that come
from? Man, I'm telling you, bro, Dwayne Wayne. I graduated.
Representation matters, y'all.
I graduated with honors. I mean, I had sense. I was pretty smart, A and B. By the time I got to high school, it was A and B. I knew it was just studying and stuff, but I did play around for about 2 to 3 years when I got in college. Yeah, I played around. So I did change my major, trying to avoid certain classes. But yeah, in changing it, it got to business management, and like I said, I was always doing some business. That's where I needed to be.
It's all relevant.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm like, man, but business management, that major teaches you about managing. Some of it teaches you about managing a business, but most of it is being a manager in a company. That's what they focus on. I didn't want that. I thought I did, but when I got to the corporate world and started, talking to these different managers saying, oh, hey, I want to be in the management trainee program, or I want to be a manager. Oh, well, you can't hang with these certain people over here. You can't be seen. I'm like, oh, no, no. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. So I knew that wasn't my way, man. I knew that wasn't
so,
my way. I don't deal with nobody's politics.
Which kind of connects to this interesting thought. You know, when we go through, we ask people to kind of fill out, mm-hmm, this, you know, survey questionnaire. Mm-hmm. You said the least creative job that you ever had.
Yeah.
As a data analyst.
Yeah, man. Yeah, they're just sitting there entering in data so much that your wrist and your fingers are hurting.
Okay.
When you leave at 5 o'clock, you're tired, but you've just been sitting in the chair all day.
Mm.
You're mentally tired. So I used to take 2-hour lunches. Eventually, when I got into my business, real tough, I was taking 2-hour lunches. So I can go get supplies and come on back.
Wow.
But I had to get it done. I knew what I was trying to do. I had to get it. I was calling in if I was doing some events at, you know, other businesses during the day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, man. I had to.
You taking a sleep
day. Okay. So when did you decide that, like, maybe it wasn't called Energy Gardens at the time. I don't know. But, like, your implants, you were doing data. And then you're like, I don't like this. I must take 2 hours to go buy some supplies. I'll see y'all when I see you. Like, when did it become more than a side hustle for you?
That year, like 2014, mm-hmm, 2014, when I said I'm gonna quit that next year. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
I knew I had to go. I had been talking to people in the break room that had been there 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. Sad on a Monday and happy on a Friday. I was like, no, I'm not going to live like
that. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, but if you're in. I don't like. I used to talk bad about 9-to-5 people, but somebody got to go to work, so I don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
I know
it ain't for me.
No,
but
I don't talk bad about people, but I will say if it's something that you hate, don't spend the minutes and the hours of your life doing it. Like, try to find something else. That's a big part of your day. 8 hours, 10 hours, and you miserable. Looking for a Wednesday so you can call it hump day, and then you looking for a Friday. Like, don't spend too much of life doing that, I would say.
You out here preaching to somebody out here listening.
Somebody gonna change their career because on this podcast right now.
Like y'all said earlier, you know, you gotta find that creativity. So everybody has something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the key is to find it. And then if you want to make some money with it, figure out how to make some money with it. And then stay with it. That's it. That's the formula.
Yeah, you're right.
Damani, talk about how y'all met, fam.
So my sister was telling me about this dude, you know, who's out there in them streets dealing, slanging. I was like, what he's slanging? She was like,
popping trunk, slanging
that green. I was like, oh, he's slanging that green?
Yeah.
And she said, plants. I said, oh, he got that herb. That's not what she meant, though. It's not. She meant plants. She meant plants. And so I'll never forget the first time she was like, go check out Energy Gardens. I got a bunch of plants from him. And then my other sister was like, I too, because apparently me and my family talk in Victorian English, but she said, I too have purchased plants from Anthony. And I was like,
come hither. I have.
And I was like, I have plants. And I was like, oh, bet. So sister A, sister B, you both got plants. Bet, I got you. And I was like, wife, oh mine, look at this fine, upstanding gentleman who slings plants from the trunk of his car. And I was like, you know, I'm building out an office in our new house. I need greenery in the office in our new house. And then I bought some because the beautiful thing, and this is the thing that I love about what you do, Anthony, is
beautiful.
You offer packages, right? Anthony has this thing where he'll offer jungle starter packs.
Yeah.
Which will be four
that
small
sounds plants. Cool.
Right.
That sounds right. Fire.
So it's right. Four small plants and one medium to big plant, depending on how much you're willing to pay for it, right?
Okay.
And so right out the gate, you have many plants. Like, it's not like you bought one fig, right? No, you just bought five plants. You got a plant in your living room. You got a plant in your bathroom. You got a plant in your bedroom. You feel like you're a plant person. Right out the gate, you are a plant person.
Yeah.
I need to see you. I need to see you.
That's all I got put on the Anthony. And then I started talking to him more. And I was like, you're just a generally cool dude. And he rolled up to my house, got out of his Jeep, holding a plant in his hand. Handed me the plants. It was great. And then I called him up again. I was like, hey, yo, you got more plants, bro? You got more of that good?
Yo, for our listeners, for our cashmeres out there, what y'all don't know yet about Damani, you might have heard, we might have kind of touched on this a couple times, but Damani is a plant fiend at this point.
And
not to smoke.
Let's be clear. I grew up in a house where we had plants in our house. Like, my mom had plants. Anthony has now sold to my, literally Anthony sold to everybody in my family at this point. But we grew up in a very, very much in a plant household. Like, when we got burned, we didn't go to the grocery store or to the drugstore and buy.
Yes, solve in the
house. Yeah, we had aloe. We just went and snapped a piece of aloe plant. That's what we did. And so getting to be reconnected to plants in the way that I was as a child through Anthony has been extremely cathartic, because
I just want to say that, because this is huge. I'm going to check the record here. Mm-hmm. I'm black.
You are.
You're black, Damani.
This is a true statement.
And Anthony is black.
This
is a blackity black conversation right now.
We're talking about plants.
We're talking about plants.
Yeah. Yeah. Like all but three of the plants in my house.
Yeah,
were acquired through Energy Gardens, and I got a lot of plants in my damn house. I got so many plants. I got a front. Next time you come over, Anthony, because I'll be buying something probably in the next you know, a couple of weeks, there is a mat at the front door, a rug at the front door that says, and I quote, "There are like a lot of plants in here."
Oh yeah, I gotta get some of those.
Yeah, bro, they're awesome. No. They're, I don't know, I don't even know if my wife got them, but they are awesome.
So carry this forward, right? We talked about how off the beaten path, how you were kind of already marching to the tune of your own, you know, song drum.
Yeah. Time out, Byron. I need to. Why would you march to the beat of your own song? It's march.
I said tune. No, I already mix it up because I said march to the tune instead of march to the beat.
Like,
so then I had a song and I didn't know which one to do. I didn't know how to finish it, bro. I was lost. I was hanging out there in limbo. I didn't know what to do. And so I just ended it the best way I could, Damani. Okay.
I was so bad. That was just,
I messed up the same, okay? I did. It's fine. Let me make my point. Okay. But my point. So Anthony, we already talked about how you march to the beat of your own drum as a child, right? And then even going through college and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then even hit the corporate world, you're like, yo, I'm gonna do my own thing. You did your own thing.
Yeah.
And the thing that you chose to do was itself an anomaly. Because I said, we black, I'm black, you black, Damani's black, we talking about plants. Not only that, let's go ahead and go a level deeper. I'm a men's, Damani, you're a men's, and Anthony, you're a men's. So we all black and men's at the same time, and we out here talking about plants. Plants, nature, nurture, care, life, bringing. That's not usually something that people associate with black men. What's up? Talk about it, Anthony. What's good?
That's tragic, though. That's tragic. Like, this should be normal. You know what I'm saying? This shouldn't be no big deal. But it is. I understand why it is. But I love what I do.
Why do you think it is?
Why do I think it is? Oh, the people are disconnected from nature, man. Simple as that. They don't, like, everybody, you know what CMOS is. You know, everybody's taking CMOS. Like, a lot of this stuff is just from nature that has been here for a long time. But we're circling up back around because a long time ago, you know, we were unplugged from everything.
Talk about it.
You know, we were unplugged from everything. So we're just now really finding out who we are as people. You know, as humans, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It took something like COVID to bring a lot of black people into plants.
Let's give a little bit of context. Hold on. Is it my daughter? Hi, Bailey. Wave.
Hi, Bailey. She can't hear me, but tell her I said hi.
Damani says hi. What's up, sweetie?
I heard a knock, but I can't see who it was.
Why? You look through the hole, and then
walk away.
Nobody. You're good. Okay. Thank you, sweetie.
We're not gonna edit this out. We're gonna leave this in.
You gonna leave it in there?
Yeah, it's real life.
Yeah, leave it.
Yeah, in. Right on.
So I did want to go into it and kind of paint a picture, right? Mm-hmm. You know, Anthony talked about we disconnected from nature. So here's what happened. Everybody knows about shadow slavery in the United States of America. And so all these black people, we grow up, and at some point throughout the history of our country during slavery, legally allowed slavery, you know, we actually even come to outnumber white folks in the South, right? And so we're living, and then Civil War happens, and then we're all free. You got 13th Amendment, and you're like, whoa, we're free.
Yeah.
Technically. And so then we what happened, interestingly enough, especially as more black people moved out of rural and into urban, a lot of the things that we were leaving from, like running away, this is what happened with traumatized people, right? You run away from a thing and you want to actually dissociate yourself from everything that was connected to it. And so things that were back then that we said that was slave stuff, That ain't how we do no more, right? I'm in the city. I'm in the city. What you talking about? I'm a city. I'm black. I'm urban.
Yeah.
Right. We had a lot of people move up north. We had a lot of people move to Cleveland, Detroit, and you know, to other places on the Eastern Seaboard, and even down here when we moved into the city, you know, you country, and it started to actually be associated with it was a pejorative. It was almost like an insult to call somebody country and to say that you are out there connected to the
earth,
to the
earth. Yeah,
you farmer and all that stuff, and it almost started to take on insulting. We made it an insult. And what was interesting was the things that came to be associated with our past, I guess, legacy of being enslaved people were actually not in and of themselves bad things, like being connected to greenery and being outside and being comfortable in the wild or, you know, outdoors. Being someone who was able to, you know, sleep outside, right? In the open air, those kinds of things. Things that we did before we got here to these United States. But it's amazing what slavery did with us to kind of hardwire our brains to associate that with a negative connotation. And so the reason why I'm so impressed by what you're doing, Anthony, and actually it feels like even the ground, the new ground that you're re-breaking,
I see what you did. You're making plant references. Well done, Byron. Well done, sir. Well done.
But what you're doing, man, it's almost like a reclamation. And so it's a beautiful thing that you've done. You've turned into a business and an enterprise, but it's deeper than that, man.
Oh, yeah.
It's deeper than that, man. You're telling a story.
Talk about that. Talk about what's deeper about it for you. Like, why? Because this, yes, you talk about the fact that you've had businesses, but why is this the one where you've planted your flag, where you've planted the Energy Gardens flag and said, nah, this is what I'm about to be about?
Oh, but yeah, it's a purpose to it, man. Because like I always say, I'm bringing people back into nature, opening their eyes. It's a gateway to a lot of different things, too. As far as people being what they call woke now. We used to say own the knowledge. It's just realization, and owning plants and having plants around you in your home and office is just another stage of that realization. You know what I'm saying? Knowing that I need to have plants around me, not, you know what I'm saying? You need to have them like you drink water. You need to drink water. You need plants around you. I tell people, I say this all the time. I said, no matter what you believe in, whatever you, if you believe in God or your spirit, whatever you say, whatever you believe in, somebody thought it was a good idea to put plants outdoors. You know what I'm saying? And people were mainly, you know, in outdoors.
So now
we're in an unnatural state where we're in buildings 8 hours a day. Then we go home, pull up in the garage, go in the house, don't even come outside. You need to bring some kind of nature indoors. It's not going to equal you spending some time outside, but it'll at least help.
How much time do you spend outside every day?
Man, I mean, I'm always in and out. I don't sit still. I walk my dog. Sometimes I'm just sitting out on the patio, in the backyard. I'm just, you know, I chill outside a lot. You know.
So was Energy Gardens always the plan? Like, was it always the plan? And how did you get to the place where Energy Gardens is right now? You have clients all over the DFW Metroplex, and like, what, how did you get there? And was this always the plan?
I mean, I used to want a pet store though. I wanted a pet store, mixed with a bookstore. And all the holistic stuff that I'm selling now, like I'm selling candles and incense and sage and crystals and stones now. Back then it was animals with all of that stuff. And I had visions of kids coming in there. I'm talking to the kids in the neighborhood, just making them aware of knowledge. You know what I'm saying? You know, teaching stuff like don't chase the squirrel, don't throw rocks at ducks and just teaching them to respect nature, because that goes a long way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Into adulthood. That's why I urge parents, if the kid wants a dog or a cat, get them one. You know, get them one. They have that what you lost. You lost it. You know, you had it, but you lost it. But your kids got to let them get some. Don't, you know, like my mom, she didn't like cats and dogs, but she tolerated.
You know,
man, what you're saying is so powerful, because you're right. That's kind of innate. unless you had a bad experience with like a dog, usually kids have an innate curiosity of nature.
Yeah.
Kids enjoy the zoo. It's just when we get older, we lose a lot of stuff, man. We lose a lot of that. If we're born with it, it's programmed. But depending on what you deal with in life, it becomes, you know, at the bottom of your list.
Okay, so you love plants. You want people to get connected more to nature. And then somewhere along the way, you decide to sell plants on Instagram?
No.
Because...
What happened? I made one. Like, I had a big glass bowl. But the girlfriend of the all right, so I made one for Valentine's for my girlfriend at the time. I had a big glass bowl, put a bunch of plants in it, flowers, delivered it to her at the job. We worked at the same place. Man, everybody wanted one. Everybody on different floors.
What year is this? Who are we talking?
2013, 2012. Like, okay. Long time ago.
Yeah, nah, Anthony was plant office bay. He had all the floors on lock, bruh.
It probably was before that. I mean, it was early 2000 something.
Yeah.
It was a while ago, but I made one for Valentine's. Like everybody wanted one on different floors, all these cubicles, and I just made some business cards. I said, man, this is what it is. And I started selling at Trader Village. I started selling at the Dallas Farmers Market. Started doing the Boho Market, different festivals. And just stuck with it, man. I stuck with it. I was out there in the heat. I was out there in the cold, as long as it wasn't below freezing.
Mm-hmm.
I was out there, you know, every weekend, because it was a weekend thing. People used to come over. Oh, see, he took his hobby and turned it into. I'm like, no. I said, no, this is my business. It's just in baby stages. And I was out.
There you go.
Yeah, I would always correct him. I'm like, no, it ain't no hobby. And then I started making so much money. You know, like in the beginning, I started making so much money. My tax lady was tripping. She was like, nah, you selling something else. I said, no. Yeah, this was back in the day when it was pretty much, it wasn't a lot of people doing this when I started. It wasn't nobody black.
Yeah.
It wasn't a lot of males.
I mean, I would argue, you know, you talking about back when you started.
Yeah.
Sir, today, they still ain't a lot.
This the early 2000s when I started. It wasn't a lot of people doing this, so it was like new. It was crazy back then.
You were talking about something that was really interesting before we started recording today, man. The pandemic. Coronavirus comes in and shuts everything down, man. Today is we're actually recording this on March 13th, day that at my office we shut everything down and everybody went to, you know, work from home. We're remote and all that stuff. And I was asking you beforehand, I was like, hey man, give me a demographic breakdown, like talk about your clientele. And you asked me a really interesting question back. You said, you talking about pre-pandemic or you talking about post-pandemic? I was like, is there a difference? And you're like, yeah, talk about that, man.
Yeah, before COVID, I had I had some black customers in there sprinkled here and there. But most people, you know, they were white people. Couple Asians, you know, a few Mexican people, but it was mainly white. But now it's pretty, you know, there are a lot of black people filling up their homes with plants. I mean, plants. And I know this because the same people are buying them from me, multiple plants. you know, getting into the $1,000, $2,000 range, you know, over time buying plants.
So this is...
It took a pandemic to do it.
That's fascinating. Yes. Why?
Well, that's the play that's run a lot. Order out of chaos. Mm. You know, that play is run a lot. And this was one of the byproducts of it. People wanting plants. Being shut in the house.
That's fair. I said being surrounded.
Say it again.
Like, and I'll speak for myself. Like, if I'm in the house, I want to look. Like, I'm looking over there, and I got an Easter lily. I didn't get it from you. It was a gift. I'm sorry. It's no disrespect. Yeah. But I got an Easter lily, and it's like, yeah, in my office, it provides something that's not my office.
Damani, I mean, like, you know, when I came over, when we first started recording before the pandemic and all that stuff, and I came over, I was like, oh, you got a green thumb? And I was looking at you. I was like, that's weird. It's weird. He's a brother with a green thumb. But as we hit the pandemic and I'm stuck in my house all day and I got Zoom after Zoom after Zoom after Zoom, and then I got a Teams and then I got chat and I got a phone call, but I'm in the same place. Yeah. Man, my excursion outside is just a walk. And I live in Southside on Lamar. So that's basically downtown. Yeah. That's the side of downtown. Great view, all this stuff. Great space. I love where we live, but there ain't no green space, man.
Whoa.
And so,
but you're trying to change that also, right?
So that's literally one of the driving factors for why I was like, bruh, I planned on being here for 3, maybe 4 years.
I remember.
We're cutting it to two. And the reason why we're cutting it to two is kind of what, you know, Anthony's been alluding to, man. I just needed some grass. I just need some green.
Yeah.
And living in this sea of concrete, although super dope, I love the city living thing. But I get why black people have been flocking to your establishment to bring some nature into their life, bring some life, quite frankly, closer to their life. It makes a ton of sense. And I'm wondering, I'm interested in what that is, why that is. But it's certainly been something that I think I've observed in my own world. And now hearing you, we're seeing that actually take place even in the market, which is fascinating.
Oh, yeah, man. I knew it was going to happen. That's why I started delivering plants. I knew people were going to be in the house. And I knew people were going to be thinking. They start seeing posts about plants cleaning out the air, purifying the air. I said, there's going to be people thinking these plants don't clear COVID.
You're like, let me get some COVID clearing plants.
I didn't even say that, but I knew. I said they're going to be thinking that. I said, but in the house with a bunch of people, man, everybody in there breathing and eating and cooking, you need some plants in there. You need to open those windows up, put some plants in there. So I knew there was going to be a need for that. So I tested it out and it turned out.
Why they come to you though? Why they come to you, Anthony? What's up? Why, like when your customers say, I'm coming to Anthony Robinson, why are they?
Yeah.
Why? What for? Wherefore they do that?
I mean, if they already knew me, they knew, you know, they know I stand by my product. You know, especially if they spent a lot of money with me, they bought a big tree, the tree dies, you know, I'll replace it. I don't want to see you with no dead plants. They ain't going to do me no good. You know, I take care of your plant. It doesn't happen a lot. It doesn't, but it's happened before, and I replace their plant, and they'll come back and buy some more. You know, it's not about, I got to sell these plants to pay these bills. That's not why I do this. I do this because I need to connect people to nature. Disconnect them from what they're doing right now. Disconnect them from the digital world so much. From the matrix, whatever you want to call it. And,
so you're
and
Black
connect
Neo.
Them to nature. That's my task. You know what I'm saying?
You're Black,
so I got to do that. You know?
That's what I heard.
Yeah, man. That's my part. I'm going to do it, you know, to my time is up.
Nah.
I mean, you've been getting enough publication. D Magazine, The Observer, Dallas Observer. I think you on Channel 8.
And now you're international because of this podcast. So, I mean,
yeah, exactly. The Netherlands.
No, I mean, I can speak from personal experience. I've loved the experience of purchasing plants from you, right? I just love, like, you really like plants, but not in the weird way, right? You're not, like, I know some people who like plants, and I'm like, oh, that's because you don't have any friends.
I'm regular
dude who just likes plants.
Yeah.
So I guess they can feel like they pick that up, and I can relate to a lot of people. And I treat everybody the same, from the janitor to the CEO to the high-end lawyer. I meet all kind of people. I don't care. I'm not going to treat you different or start talking different because I know you own a bunch of properties. I don't care. You buy a lot of these.
So one of the things that I love is that you call it living decor. Like, explain that to me. Like, explain that to us. Like, why? Like, living decor, what does that mean to you?
Man, because you need decor in your house. And it's just it's living. You may have a sofa, you may have a chair over here, put that plant over there, matches your furniture, or it's an accent piece, and then you got something living growing out of it, something that you can actually feel, walk in the room. You walk in a room with no plants versus a room with plants, you feel the difference.
True.
And people say that they feel it. I say, well, that's what I said right there. I said that feeling. And then if it look good, if it look cool, if it's something like, you know what I'm saying? You know how some people are. They're kind of uptight or whatever. And it's a plant that even make them unwind a little bit or make them feel a little better. Yeah, man, I've done that. I done had people tell me they didn't even know they liked plants until they saw what I did with them. Because I take old TVs, gut them out, put plants inside the TVs, old radios, 8-track players, typewriters, you know, all kind of stuff, man. And I just wanted to make it look cool. I wanted it to be fashionable. You know what I'm saying? It people say plants are in, it's a fad. It shouldn't be like that. You know, before COVID, I had a good following. The people on my Instagram page, they are customers. Yeah. They buy. COVID just added a whole new group of people. I welcome. Come on. I've been waiting on y'all. That's what I said.
Okay, so you did the Instagram thing. You love plants, did the Instagram thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, though, we're talking to you while you're sitting in the next phase of Energy Gardens. And obviously, this has been impacted by COVID. But talk a little bit about, where are you sitting right now, in this moment right now?
Come on now.
In this moment?
Right now. Where are you sitting?
Man, I'm about to open up these doors to another level of...
Open doors to what? What are you opening doors to? Let's talk about it, because people don't know. What are you doing?
Tell the people where they do that at. What you talking about?
I'm opening up a plant lounge.
Lounge.
Yeah. I needed something better than a nursery. The plant lounge is just picture a hookah lounge or a cigar lounge where you can come in. It's filled with plants. You have free tea and coffee to customers. But I also sell the tea and coffee. You have candles, you have incense, you have handmade soaps and body butters. And a lot of my products are from local creators. I try to use people that I have past relationship with at the Dallas Farmers Market and places like that. I try to use my coworkers back then. I don't want anything consignment. I want to go buy from them wholesale. Yeah. Sell it in my store, keep their labels on it, because I still want to support them. Somebody may need to re-up on some soap or some candles. Hey, if you're not close to me, you're close to them. They'll be back here to get some plants. So I just wanted to create a place with an experience to come in. You know, especially after a day at work at a job you don't like, man, you be able to come in here, man. I got some music on. TV on, I may be watching some old, you know, old 80s or 90s movie. That's the theme. I play 90s and early 2000s music and movies.
The golden age. That's basically what we're talking about. That's basically what we're talking about.
I mean, so we sound old when we say it, but also, yes.
You don't know nothing about that, but what? That you have to say
that. You don't know about that good music.
So
you don't know. It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine.
Yeah.
Yo, but Anthony, what part of town is this in? What's up? Where's that?
In Depot, man. The address. Yeah, I shoot the address out there. It's 3116 Commerce Street, Suite 3.
You know who he's next door to, Byron?
Ooh.
Who are you next door to, Anthony?
Deep LMR's company. Oh,
John LaRue.
It's coming full circle.
First episode of Casually Creative was with John LaRue. True story.
Full circle.
First episode.
Okay. Full circle. Which is dope. First episode. John, yeah. They made it through, bruh.
It's open. They are open. Ooh.
This weekend.
John's been waiting for this moment.
John's life was on the razor edge waiting for this moment.
Man.
Yeah, I talked to him.
We proud of him. We proud of him, man. We proud of you, bro. So,
bro,
this is huge. This is you.
Well, I also love that you're reframing what it means to be in a lounge, right? You didn't talk about no booze. You said, we got coffee, we got tea. You just coming to chill. You coming to hang out. You coming to buy some plants. Just be.
Life.
Creating a whole vibe. Experience life. Celebrate life.
Yeah. I mean, I even got a water fountain, so you'll be able to hear the sounds of water. It's a fountain. It'll smell good. It'll look good. It'll sound good. Music, water fountain. It's just gonna be cool, man. Nothing like this was existing. So I was driving one day. I said, man, I want a plant lounge. I started texting a few people, calling a few people, said, this is what I'm gonna do. I don't want it to look like a store. I don't want a countertop with a cash register. You come in here, look like a living room, man.
The thing that I'm totally here for, I'm hugely here for. We got a brother. I said this before. You black. I'm black. You know, we got, and we're men, and we're openly talking about plants, and you are openly creating a place where you can come and be in, I would say, serenity, right? And the question, I mean, this defies the traditional narrative, man. You know, because usually when you talk about brothers and masculinity, like, we hard. I'm hard. I'm rough. I'm a roughneck, right? I'm a thug.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you got all of those different things. But here's the thing. I mean, you haven't changed who you are. You the same cat from Oak Cliff. But you're saying, yeah, this is also part of my humanity. This is part of your humanity. Yeah. Embrace it. Explore it. You haven't been here before. Pull up a chair. Take a seat. Smell it. It's good for you.
Yeah, and I feel sorry for a lot of people who are just too hardwired into the world, into the world, and trying to keep up appearances, or I don't know. You know, I'm like, you know, hopefully, I always say, hopefully they get free from it. You know?
Free.
It's crazy, man. Like, you can see a lot of it on social media. And as a business person, you see how easily people can be controlled and manipulated.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
What's this actually goes back to your definition of creativity. Because, you know, we always ask, I guess, hey, what, you know, how would you define it? How would you define creativity? What you said was, you know, I haven't tried to define creativity. Mm-hmm. What you said was, art is in the eye of the creator. You have to let your mind be free.
Yeah.
That this notion of liberation, which is freeing yourself from the constraints, not necessarily, it certainly, you know, there's institutional, there's structural inequity and systems and of oppression that affect us, but also there's this concept of the mind, and the mind being able to imagine yourself and see yourself outside of what has been defined for you, right? Yeah. So when you say you have to let your mind be free, talk about how that shows up and what you've chosen to do.
Man, you gotta kind of step outside your comfort zone to do things. Even with me choosing to do energy gardens 100%.
Yeah.
back then, I mean, like I said, people, I mean, even when I worked at my corporate job, I had a lady tell me she thought I was gay. Mm-hmm. I'm like, girl, I'm
just by virtue of being in liking plants, like
yeah,
like your sexuality is defined by your liking or not liking of plants.
Yeah, and I was like, but I knew, I know.
Yeah, where she was coming from.
I expect certain things from people. I observe people. It doesn't surprise me, but like I said, I feel sorry for some people sometimes. But I mean, I get it. You know what I'm saying? I get it, but you just gotta keep going no matter what somebody gonna think, man. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did. I'm like, oh, but now I'm looked at differently. Mm-hmm. They people come, oh, you're a plant god, or you this and that. Now it's more respected, but that never bothered me, man. I was going to do what I wanted to do, regardless of all that.
Interesting. Yeah. So there's a section of the show, section of the conversation.
Yeah,
that's our favorite part. It's a part.
Yo, I'm ready. I'm ready.
Are you ready? Where I'm going to fire rapid fire questions at you, Anthony, that you're not prepared for. I haven't told you. Have I told you any of these questions, sir?
No.
I'm going to fire rapid fire. You got to answer off the top of the dome. Are you ready?
Okay. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another rendition of Quickly Creative.
Feed me, Simo. Feed me all night long. That's right, boy. You can do it. Feed me, Simo. Feed me all night long. Because if you feed me, Simo, I can grow up big and strong. Quickly Creative.
That's literally how you put the neck. That's it.
Little Shop of Horrors.
So, Anthony, we don't have a theme song for Quickly Creative. We have one for Casually Creative. We don't have a theme song for Quickly Creative. No. So every week, we create a new theme song.
That's right.
That was Byron's rendition.
No, man. Listen, it's an adaptation.
I mean, I know it was Little Shop of Horrors.
From Little Shop of Horrors, Audrey 2, the large mutant alien plant that came to try to dominate the world. I felt inspired by everything we've been talking about here today. Is there a problem with a giant Venus flytrap?
I'm just
okay.
I support you.
Okay.
I used to want one of those.
Come on. I had a Venus flytrap. That's the only thing that I kept alive. Okay, because it ate meat.
I wanted that. I wanted one of those. That Beckham. My mama said, "Boy, that thing gonna eat you up."
It's true. It's true.
Rick, right. Go ahead. Give it to him.
Here questions. Here we go. You ready? Fiddle fig or snake plant?
Snake plant.
What are you listening to, watching, or reading right now?
Snowfall, WandaVision, a lot of 90s music, and Hans Zimmer.
Okay. What inspires you?
Nature, real nature.
What's real nature?
Just being outdoors. Okay. I like traveling. I like going to the islands. I like going to rainforest. I like seeing waterfalls. I mean, I'm going ziplining in a few weeks. I like to be out in it, man.
Man, you're my favorite person. Who's the most creative person you know?
I'm gonna say my dad and my uncle, the twins. They're culinary artists. And what they, as a kid, what I've seen them do with food, it's just ridiculous. Take a watermelon, a cantaloupe, a cheese tray, and just do wonders with it, man. So it was always a solution to any problem they had while working. So I try to keep that same mentality.
So is there going to be like a kitchen added on to the plant lounge at some point or what?
probably not. That's cooking was never my thing. Yeah. I appreciate the art. But it was never my thing. I got into the plants. I think it came from my great aunt.
I got it.
It's dope.
What's your favorite word?
My favorite word? Man, I know I said nature. I'm going to say nature.
Nature. All right.
I use it a lot.
What's your favorite color?
Favorite color, green.
I mean, this is, what's a random fact about you?
Random fact. I watch Andy Griffith every day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like that Andy Griffith.
I used to watch it on Netflix, but they took it off, so I had to cancel Netflix. Now I watch it on Prime.
That's commitment. That's commitment.
I talk, man. They made me mad when they did that. They had it on there for years, man.
My name is Anthony Robinson. And they're like, I'm black. And I said, I want Andy Griffith back.
Yeah. What's your favorite smell? Oh, wait, go ahead, Anthony. Go ahead.
Well, I watched like the black shows, like Good Times and stuff like that, but Andy Griffith always has a happy ending.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Always. The black shows kind of, you know, they could be depressing sometimes. You know, you want to, and when I'm working, I want to stay on a higher level, you know, vibration, whatever. I want to stay in a good mood when I'm working. So I don't listen to a lot of crazy kind of rap when I'm working. I listen to uplifting music. Yeah. As long as it's positive, or someone watching, as long as it's positive, that's what I'm listening to and watching while I'm working.
You protect your joy. That's beautiful. Okay.
Yeah, I trust you.
All right. So what's your favorite plant care tip?
Plant care tip? Don't expose these plants to direct sunlight.
Hmm.
I tell them, especially people who's been to the islands, I tell them like, hey, well, you've seen these plants. They're, it's bright, but they're covered up by huge trees. Mm-hmm. So they're not getting like the direct sunlight. So I tell them, you know, to keep it partially in the shade or, you know, just in your home. I said, if it's burning you, it's burning them. So
I was today years old when I learned that you should not expose your plants to direct sunlight. This is ridiculous. Why ain't nobody ever told me this before, bruh?
Yeah, when it's like 95, 100 degrees.
Yes.
You don't want to do that.
I thought they needed more chloroplasts. I thought that they needed more photosynthesis. God dang.
Nah. They burn up. I done had them burn up in the car while I'm delivering, bro.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, last one. Best plant for beginners.
Snake plant.
Yeah, that's true, Byron. That's
I'm coming
mean.
For a snake plant.
If you kill a snake plant, bro, real talk. If you kill a snake plant, I don't even know what to
you're
say.
A serial killer.
But it happens. It happens. People will kill them.
How? I mean, they require water every like 3 months.
They won't do anything.
Let me look up this snake plant.
I had one person leave one on her front porch.
Oh, okay.
And it burnt up.
I'll do it.
Over the summer, and a few people over the ice storm, everybody plants died. And some people plants died indoors.
Not mine. Not mine.
Yeah. Nah, man, you good with it though. You're not a beginner. Okay,
I'm out here.
So, and the thing is, bro, don't even worry because I'm going to be doing plant classes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to have food.
Are you going to have some online content? Get that ad revenue.
Yeah, we can talk about it.
We'll get that happening. Anthony, thank you, brother. Seriously, genuinely, thank you for just kind of sharing how you realize and have realized your creativity over the course of these past several years. Yeah. And personally, for me, as someone whose house has more oxygen because of you and whose kids have learned to appreciate nature more because of you, that they love to go with me to spray the plants and they go with me to check on them. And they, you know, I was however many years old it was, but you were the first person that told me to talk to really and like touch your plants. And when you said it, it was okay. Because the last time I heard somebody say talk to your plants, it was a crazy ass hippie woman.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's Anthony. That's a cool dude.
He's like, nah,
he said talk to your plants and touch them. Right.
Yeah, no, the crazy ass hippie woman was right. Listen to the crazy ass hippie woman.
She was. But just like you said with your kids, they go with you to miss them and everything.
Mm.
That's teaching nurturing, that's teaching responsibility. Just that little stuff like that goes a long way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
Say man.
So Anthony, this is
I said, well, this is what I'm about to say, man. Hey, Anthony, It's time, bro. Yeah. Brag on yourself, man. So what's up? Talk about anything you got upcoming. Where can people find you? What's up? Talk about yourself.
I have a soft opening. November. March 17th.
Like the governor said that COVID is over.
What you doing in November?
I know. No, but March 17th, Wednesday from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. You can find me on Instagram at Energy Gardens. You can find me on Facebook, facebook.com/Energy Gardens. Give me a call, give me a text, send me a DM or whatever. But I want to see you Wednesday at 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. The address is 3116 Commerce Street, Suite C, Dallas, Texas. If you have an iPhone, the GPS will send you to the alley. So make sure you're on Tumblr.
It doesn't. I don't know why. It's crazy.
Yeah. We'll send you to the alley. Yeah.
Anthony, thank you, brother. I really appreciate it. I will be there probably at 9:01 so I can avoid any crowds that might come for your opening.
It's weekday, man. You'll be all right. A lot of people be at work. It's St. Patty's Day.
Oh, true. It is St. Patty's Day. So I'm going to show up and get some green on St. Patty's Day. See what I did?
You dig?
Did you see what I did? I picked that day.
No, you ain't dumb. You ain't dumb.
It's because you smart, bro. You smart, bro.
It's true.
I picked it because of it's my daughter's birthday too. She'll be 3 years old. So.
I think you're playing that too. Yeah. I think you're playing that too.
Yeah, you know.
It's true. Anthony, brother, thank you very much for taking the time to hang out with us on this Friday from the Plant Lounge in the heart of Deep Ellum.
On a soft, supple couch,
just supple, made of camel and
this is beautiful.
Thank you for owning your fullness and just being the plant dude. Thank you for being my plant dude. Thank you for being Byron's future plant dude.
That's right,
man. I really appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me on. Yeah,
we're here, bro.
Thank you. Once again, I am Jay Damani Daniel, Chief Imaginator at The Event Nerd.
This is Byron Sanders, President and CEO of Big Thought.
Y'all stay dope.
Stay dope.
Casually Creative was produced by Heather Daniel of SweetRebel.com. Its intro and outro music were composed by Ezekiel Daniel and produced by Marcus Reddick and Dean Talbert. Feel free to check us out online at www.casuallycreative.co.
Everyone living is a type of creative. Everyone's got a limit they can create. Some people code them, for some people it's bacon. If you can see it in your mind, you can make it.